Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and phones are open here. If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Aria.
Phones are open in case you want to bring up whatever's on your mind. There's stuff to talk about tonight, including a game that I guess is stirring up some controversy. One that you tried last night, Aria, called Hogwarts Legacy.
This is
in relation to the Harry Potter book series, of which I'm sure there are a myriad of video games. I have not paid attention to that side of
there are, and fandom. They've historically been terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've only ever played, like, one of them, but none of them have reviewed very well. And the one that I played was really boring, really bland. I mean, it's not material that translates very well.
There's never
into
really
video
been
games.
A lot of great movie games. I mean, there have been some, I believe, I've certainly not played them, but I've heard there's been a few good Batman games, for instance. But
I would highly recommend playing Arkham City.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. So there are certainly some, but it's like video games don't tend to make the trip over to the movie screen very well, and movies don't tend to make the trip to the video game screen very well for whatever reason over the last few decades they've been doing them.
In regard to video game movies, that is a video game that gets turned into a movie, mm-hmm. It's usually a way of transporting money from one country to another without paying the obscenely high taxes on it. There's been a number of videos of people exploring the subject, and it seems to check out as far as I can tell. Like, most of them are made in Germany, I think, is the place. And if you have, you know, $80 million in Germany, and you want to bring it to the United States, you want to repatriate that money, you're going to pay very high taxes. This is part of one of the issues in the United States, is that the repatriation money thing, I don't know exactly how it all works, but if you have money offshore and you bring it back to the United States, apparently that involves very high taxes.
Huh.
So the way they get around this is they make a movie in one of these countries, and video game movies are guaranteed to sell because you got that built-in fan base already. So you're built in, you're pretty much going to break even, and you're certainly going to even if you lose money, you're not going to lose as much as you would if you just paid those taxes. So for $80 million, you spend that making the movie. You make $78 million or whatever, and you make those sales in the United States. So you repatriate the money without paying those huge repatriation taxes. And as far as I can tell, that's how most of these video game movies are created, and that's why they're created.
Even if they are, like, total bombs, you're saying it's still worth doing?
Yes, because they tend to break even. Like, what Hollywood considers to be a bomb mm-hmm. is a movie that doesn't make, you know, $10 billion or some obscene amount of money. And this is true in video mm-hmm. games as well. I can't remember the video game exactly what game it was, but they considered it a failure because it only sold 6 million copies. And this is common in the video game world.
Did it
the
turn
movie
a profit?
It turned an enormous profit. Mm-hmm. But making some money isn't good enough. Making a lot of money isn't good enough. These people have to make all the money.
Mm.
Like 6 million video game sales, that's an extraordinary number.
Sounds pretty big to me.
Yeah, but when they look at it, they're like, oh, we should have sold 15 million or whatever. But there's this huge disparity between what they actually do and what they think they should do. And this is true of movies as well, where a movie that only makes $80 million, they consider it a failure because it didn't make, you know, 800 million or insert whatever number here. I don't know what numbers they usually make or how much they usually cost to make. However, there has been a lot of research into why video game movies are consistently terrible. And it, from what I can tell, that theory checks out. That it's a way of bringing money from overseas back into the United States, repatriating it.
I've never heard that there's a tax on having a bank account on like a bank transfer from your German bank to the U.S., tax on that?
I'm not sure how it works, but I know that this is why a lot of these super rich people have money offshores, and it's why they don't bring it back to the United States. And there was a thing during the Trump era or during the in one of these presidential eras, they were talking about temporarily having a moratorium on it and allowing people to repatriate money to, quote, stimulate the economy or whatever. So it is a thing. I don't know the details of it because I don't live in that world of high finance, but it apparently is a thing.
Huh. Yeah, I'm definitely the wrong person to ask when it comes to tax laws. Let's go to the phones here. We got Tom on the line in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tom.
Good evening. It's Valentine's Day today.
It is. It is. Happy Valentine's Day.
Notice the ladies out there, you know, when was the last time you went on a date and you paid the bills? See, because the point is that women are still merchandise, okay, in spite of all of the protesting and progress that's been made.
Did you just say women are merchandise?
From the first date when the gentleman pays the bills until the day that the father gives away the bride, they don't usually sell brides anymore openly, although some parents may be trying to steer their daughter to a financially secure gentleman. They are still being treated as property. The transaction here in New Hampshire, you go down to the town hall with the document signed by the officiant, and you hand it to the same bureaucrat who handles motor vehicle transactions. In some states, it's at the county courthouse. You bring in the signed marriage license, and in the same building where they do real estate transfer records. Women are still being treated as merchandise, and if they insist on being treated like merchandise, then that is...
I'm not really clear on when you say women are being treated as merchandise. What exactly do you mean? I don't think you've been clear on that, Tom. Go ahead.
When the man takes the woman on the date, he's expected to pay for all the bills.
That's not true in my experience, and I've been on both sides of this, where I've had men take me out, and I've taken out women, and I've had women take me out where they paid the bills. It certainly used to be that way, Tom, where the man always paid and he was expected to pay, but more often than not, the vast majority of dates I've been on, we each paid for our own share.
What do they call it, Dutch or something like that? Isn't there a term for going out where each side pays for their own share? It's not a new idea, Tom. This has been around for, you know, some decades. So I don't know. I got to agree with Aria on this one. I think you're stuck in 1950 or something here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Aria is stuck in... some alternate reality where he thinks that he's a woman, but I don't know how common that is nowadays since I've been married for the last 26 years. I haven't gone on a date with anyone.
All right, well, we're not going to be able to have a back and forth. I have to keep putting him on hold because there's some weird echo going on with his phone line, and it's going to be impossible to have an actual conversation. But thank you for the call tonight. I'll let him go for technical reasons.
So I went on a date like a week ago, and you haven't been on a date in, I think you said, 26 years. So, like, when it comes to whose dating experiences are most relevant, whether you accept that I'm trans or however you wish to characterize me, is it relevant to the fact that I would suggest I probably have more dating experience than you, period, but I certainly have more recent dating experience than you, period.
For sure.
And this idea that, you know, I mean, you're talking about dates at best from 26 years ago, and we're telling you that that's not the way things are now, end of story.
I think that it would probably be fair to say that the person who asks generally would be expected to be the one who pays, and I think that's probably still going to be the man more often than not, but I think it is fair to acknowledge that these things are shifting and expectations are changing about this over time, and it's ultimately the agreement that the couple comes to as far as who pays.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that it's best to discuss it up front. Much prefer to discuss it up front. Like, before we even leave, I want to know, because I don't want to have this discussion at the dinner table, or at the line at the movie theater or whatever. The easiest way to handle this is usually for one of us to pay and the other one to just give the money at the end of the night. That's usually how I've done it. Well, actually, that's not usually how I've done it. I found that to be the easiest. Usually, the way I actually do it is we just buy our stuff separately, or we split the bill there on the spot, or insert whatever way of splitting the bill. But I do tend to pay when I take out girls for whatever. I mean, you can call that misogyny if you would like.
I wouldn't call it misogyny. It's just it's more of a tradition. You know, that's just sort of. You asked her out, right? She didn't ask you out.
That's exactly it.
Right?
I've had very few women ask me out on a date.
If a girl asked me out on a date, it would be weird for me to expect to then pay for that date. But I would still want to have that conversation. I would want to have that, just to make sure it was clear.
It would be very strange. You make a really good point. Like, if a girl asks you out...
Which has never happened to me in my lifetime.
No, it's very uncommon. It would be extremely weird for her to be like, okay, well, you're paying for my dinner, right? It's like, okay, at this point, why don't you just say, hey, can you loan me $20 or whatever? And just cut out the middleman. If you don't have money for dinner, then don't ask someone out on a date. That tends to be the way I think dating should be, you know. If you ask someone out... You should be the one to pay.
You, unless you come up with some arrangement after that.
Right. I don't want to create an obligation for someone. Maybe they don't have the money, right? But I still want to spend time with them. If I want to spend time with them, and I want to do it in a way that costs money, it seems reasonable to me to pay for their share of it.
Yeah, agreed. The number here tonight is 603-283-6160. That is the number where you can bring up whatever you want. It is Valentine's Day, and we are here live on the radio. Coming up here, let's talk further. So we did start the show with the Hogwarts thing. We might as well dig a little further. So there's this game that's come out. It's called Hogwarts Legacy. You said there's been a series of these Harry Potter games. They've been pretty bad overall. You mentioned it off here, I think, last night, and you said you were going to actually give the game a shot because you have purchased the game simply because of the controversy, not per se because you really were that interested in playing it. That's the impression I got from you. Are you a huge Harry Potter fan, or, like, where's your level of interest in that whole, what do you call it, series, I guess?
I liked Harry Potter as I grew up. You know, I was the generation that Harry Potter was effectively written for. You know,
so you've read some of the books?
I've read all the books.
All of them, okay.
I grew up with Harry Potter, and
I've read none of them.
She began sort of slacking off. Because, I mean, it takes a long time to write a book, but the idea was that, you know, when Harry Potter was entering his first year of Hogwarts and was 10 years old or however old he was, I think I was about 10 years old at the time. I don't remember now, but the age gap wasn't terribly far off. And then, you know, when he was entering his fourth year and he was 15 or whatever, I was about 15 years old. There was that huge gap there where I was a teenager and Harry Potter was slowly transitioning from kids' books to young adult books because they did that. But it wasn't cool. It's like the Pokemon games or insert whatever. If it's cool when you're 10 years old, it's probably not going to be cool to you when you're 15 or 16 years old. So there is that gap there. But Harry Potter did mature, and it did transition into being about young adults or being directed toward young adults. And they were really good. They weren't the best things ever written, but they were creative, and they were thought-provoking, and they were decent reads. Mm-hmm. It was a creative world that I could lose myself in, and I loved that aspect of it. I've always loved fantasy in particular, any sort like Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, even Magic the Gathering has some books, and RPGs in general, anything with wizards and dragons and stuff. It's always been my favorite genre, and Harry Potter has all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's unique in how it takes the real world and puts it alongside this magical world.
They have dragons in Harry Potter?
There are dragons in Harry Potter.
I've seen the movies only once. You know, I don't have a big recollection of them. I enjoyed them. I thought they were entertaining.
They were faithful adaptations. The books are certainly better. Mm-hmm. That's not true in all cases.
I have not seen the ones that weren't the Harry Potter ones. I know there's been another series of mystical animals or something like that.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah,
that's kind of sad. Well, not sad, but that's kind of regrettable because I've only seen one of them, but it was really good. The Crimes of Grindelwald was the Fantastic Beast that I've seen. And I would like to see the others. I just haven't because I'm not a big fan of J.K. Rowling.
Now, why is that?
It's because she is a TERF. She is a trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
And the definition of a TERF is a feminist, correct me if I'm wrong on this, someone who calls himself a feminist but excludes trans people, saying that well, you're not really women, so therefore feminism or whatever doesn't attach to you, essentially. Is that kind of what it, what
yes.
it is?
Mm-hmm. She goes a bit beyond that. I mean, like, I would agree in so many ways that as a trans woman, I don't have to fight the struggles that most women have had to fight.
And your struggles are different.
They are different.
Yeah.
And I do, through a lot of my life, I have had, you know, male privilege or whatever they would characterize it as, whatever one would call it as. It's certainly easier in many ways to be a man in the world than it is to be a woman in the world. And it's true that as a trans person, I have benefited from that disparity.
You can probably do more pull-ups than the average woman.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have testosterone, so I'm, you know, going to be faster than the average woman and just more physically fit in general than the average woman. So that, and I recognize this reality, and a lot of trans people don't recognize that reality. But I understand where one is coming from. The struggles of the feminist are not the same as the struggles of the trans woman. Mm-hmm. And it's important to recognize that, because it's not fair to treat, like, the abortion issue. It's not fair to pretend as a trans woman like the abortion issue impacts me the way that it does a cis woman. It doesn't impact me any more than it does a genetic male or a biological male, whatever one would say, a dude.
Given that you're acknowledging these differences, what is so offensive about the author, J.K. Rowling, as far as her being a TERF? It seems like that's not a particularly unfair position for them to say, hey, look, we're different.
I don't know. To be honest.
I mean, I've never read any of her statements about it, so I don't know, you know, how offensive they are or whatever.
I'm going mostly off of hearsay. I don't know what Rowling has said about trans people. From what I've heard, many from people who I trust generally on the matter, she is not a fan of trans people. She is degrading to an extent toward trans people, and she would treat trans people as slightly lesser to whatever degree, like maybe 1% lesser than your average person. But she seems to look down to some extent on trans people.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Or so you've heard.
Yes. And I tend to trust these people's judgment.
Okay.
But she's not a Nazi, right? She's not out there saying we have to put trans people to death or whatever. She's not doing any of these things that some crazy people on the left to accuse her of doing, but she is a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. She is a TERF. And she is, I don't like the word transphobic because I don't think she fears trans people, but she is anti-trans to some degree from what I've heard. And I tend to rely on those assessments of her. I don't care enough about her opinions to look into what she has said. But because of all of this, I try to avoid giving her money. You know, just basic market principle of, you know, voting with your wallet. Mm-hmm. I don't boycott her products. I don't boycott the Harry Potter series. But when given the choice, I choose not to give her money. Just like I'm not boycotting Chick-fil-A, which gives money to, you know, gay conversion therapy camps and stuff like that. They're anti-gay, sort of, to some extent.
That chicken's good.
Maybe, but It's a hate chicken, right? That's the way I view it. And I don't want to buy it.
I
don't have any objection to people out there buying it because I don't think it matters. That 0.001% of your money that you spend at Chick-fil-A going to this gay camp is not going to, or this anti-gay camp, it's not going to make a difference in the grand scheme one way or the other. You're not going to bankrupt Chick-fil-A. They're not going out of business.
Too many people
like them. And
no, remember there was that protest about Chick-fil-A, like, I don't know, 15 years ago, and there ended up being a boycott that happened. So there was a boycott because, you know, some gay people were offended.
Right.
And so there was this big boycott, but then this big boycott happened, and there was literally lines, like, wrapping around the block, people trying to go in and buy Chick-fil-A from the conservative side. So it actually ended up having the boycott had a reverse effect, because the opposite actually ended up happening.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Something similar happened to Disney, if I remember right, when the Christians tried to boycott it because it's pro-LGBTQ. This when I was a kid, so I don't remember all the specifics.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced that boycotting and that... You know, I was boycotting Blizzard for the last several years.
The video game company.
Yes, and a lot of people continue to boycott Blizzard because...
For what? For supporting China?
They support China. They are also antagonistic of free speech. Like, they they penalized one of their streamers in one of their officially ordained Blizzard competitions or whatever because he said free Hong Kong or something like
that. Yeah, they were doing China's bidding in that case.
And... They're notorious. The company Blizzard has a huge problem with sexism, and it seems to start at the top with Bobby Kotick, I think is his name.
Didn't Microsoft just buy Activision Blizzard?
They're working on it, it's getting blocked by the government, and it's you know, the government.
Wow.
And it's unclear if it's going to actually proceed or not, but Blizzard, as a company, has done some really shady stuff. They tend to be sexist, and they... And there's just not a good company that I want to support.
I want to bring David on the line here. He's in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the Harry Potter, it was just a little bit before me. Like, I was a couple of years younger than the Harry Potter books. But I must say that I did enjoy them. But I don't know that I would want my kids reading the later ones. Not until they're older. Because they get really violent in the later ones.
Okay.
Do they?
Give us an example if you can recall.
Like, in the seventh book, for example, they are captured, and this crazy, demented woman, Bellatrix Lestrange, literally carves the slur, into this girl's arm with a knife. It's like, that's really freaking, you know...
Well, this sounds like it would be the teen series. You know, they're no longer the kids' books, as Aria
That's
was
correct.
Describing earlier. You've gone into young adult fiction, and certainly in the category of young adult fiction, you're going to have some violence. I mean, that's going to be part of it. When you say you wouldn't let your kids read it, do you mean you wouldn't let your children read it, as in they're still children, or you wouldn't let your teens read it?
Children, like 8, 9 years old, because... Once you get to, you know, 13, 14 years old, you can generally make the decisions for yourself. But those books got pretty violent there at the end. The first ones were not too bad, but those last ones were a little bit meh.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a problem I've never really given any thought to, because you're right. The last few books, they are young adult. They do have some pretty grotesque scenes. A lot of people are killing one another. There's torture scenes to an extent, and it doesn't go into graphic detail, but there are people being tortured. I wonder how people are handling this, where, like, a 10-year-old reads, you know, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which is the first book, and it's fine, and it's kid-friendly, it's kid-safe, but they continue reading, and the next thing you know, they're reading the final book, but they're still 10 or 11 years old. I don't know.
It's up to the parents to decide. Yep, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. We got more coming up. The number 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV just removed Newsmax. Now you can't watch Newsmax on DirecTV or UVerse. With OAN gone last year, that's two conservative channels removed in the past year alone. Newsmax is the fourth highest rated cable news channel, with great programs from Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren, and Rob Schmidt. Now millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. President Trump, Mike Huckabee, John Voight, Sarah Palin, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and many more are demanding that Newsmax be returned to DirecTV. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now and let them know you want Newsmax. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you're not a DirecTV subscriber but support Newsmax and free speech, call 877-NEWSMAX to show your support. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He urges you to stand up for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
USA News Update. President Biden says his thoughts and prayers are with the entire Michigan State family after last night's mass shooting on the university's East Lansing campus.
Three lives have been lost and five seriously injured. and it's the family's worst nightmare. It's happening far too often in this country.
Biden calling on Congress to enact common-sense gun reforms, including stricter background checks and an assault weapons ban. House Republicans are launching an investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The inquiry includes requests for former White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, former NIH Director Francis Collins, and other top health officials to testify. The governor of Ohio is angry that the trains that derailed in his state weren't considered high-hazardous rail cars. Republican Mike DeWine said that obviously wasn't the case, and he wants Congress to investigate. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Whatever you want, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Aria in the studio tonight. And I want to say thank you to Gnostic Wretch. Gnostic Wretch, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program silver level, which is $5 a month. That's all we ask for over at amps.freetalklive.com. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to back us up, to help us support this mission of spreading the ideas of liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, freedom, the things that we talk about here on a regular seven-night-per-week basis. If you like the work that we do, then please join AMPS. Over at amps.freetalklive.com, as Gnostic Wretch has done, you can do that, amps.freetalklive.com. It'll take you right over to our Patreon. You to get some perks like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has the full radio show without any recorded commercials. So we appreciate the support, and you get some, again, some benefits over at amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. Andrew is on the line calling us from Manchester, New Hampshire. Andrew, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just wanted to call in on this Valentine's Day Eve or whatever it is that
Eve would be yesterday. Today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, today is Valentine's Day. Yes, indeed. On the dot. Is that to my opinion, the high point of civilization is Amsterdam, and you know, you've got your legal shroom stores, you've got your legal weed, you've got your legal prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing city to walk around in, and the only thing it's missing is people open carrying. And I think you're never going to get the open carry in Amsterdam, but we can make the rest of that stuff happen in New Hampshire. So that's my dream for the state.
I love that. That's yep. fantastic. I mean, we already have decriminalized weed. We already have open carry and concealed carry without a government permit here in New Hampshire, unless you're a felon or something like Ari and I. But pretty much everybody else can. And
well, technically, I'm not a felon yet.
I guess not. I mean, I'm a convict, so technically I'm convicted. I think I am a, even though I haven't been sentenced, I believe I am a felon. And you've taken a plea.
I pled guilty, but it's not official until
I'm sentencing.
Sentenced. The judge has not accepted the plea.
I see. Well, the bail conditions still prohibit you from having a gun, so effectively you're on the outs on that one. But prostitution, unfortunately, there's been no movement on that here in New Hampshire. There have been a few bills over the years, in the last several years, that have not been terribly received. I remember there was one maybe 4 or 5 years ago put up by a Free Stater Democrat who was elected as a Democrat in New Hampshire, and I think it got like 150 votes in the state house. So, like, not bad for the kind of the first run at doing some decrim of prostitution. I would say it's doable here. It needs to be focused on more. It doesn't come back often enough. It should be hitting every 2 years, and it's not.
Definitely, and shrooms too. You know, we every state, you know, is making some progress on weed, but the next frontier is psychedelics too, which are honestly a lot more important. You know, if you're not just into getting a little bit of pleasure, but exploring your consciousness.
Well, I hope you're following and supporting the bills that are in this year. Are you aware that there is a bill to completely decriminalize psilocybin and also, I think, LSD, mescaline, and one other thing that's escaping me at the moment.
I'm curious how they're characterizing psychedelics.
They actually use the word hallucinogen, which is kind of more of an offensive kind of word, I think, than psychedelics, but the word hallucinogen is used in the statutes.
Okay.
So they're basically trying to decriminalize the hallucinogen aspect of the law. Are you aware of these things, Andrew?
No, I'm just hearing about them now. And, that would be progress over Amsterdam, because they've got, you can get the shrooms in the head shops, but they don't have any LSD for sale. So you've always got to have competition. That's their competition.
I don't have the bill number handy at the moment, but if you're familiar with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, you should probably get connected with them. They've got a really handy system called GenCourt Mobile. It's a website that they put together that allows you to identify what the bills are that are out there that you're interested in. It allows you to follow each of the bills every year that you want to follow, so you'll get updates as the bill kind of goes through the process. You'll get like an email that'll let you know, okay, there's been a vote on this bill, or there's a vote coming up, or there's a hearing coming up. That kind of thing kind of keeps you in the loop with what's going on. I don't know if that bill has been voted on yet, but it did already have its public hearing. So you don't have a chance to speak publicly about it, but you may still be able to send an email to the state reps there. So check out the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. If you haven't joined that organization yet, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I want to just give a shout out in general to New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. They do phenomenal work there. I mean,
there's no better pro-liberty political organization in the state, if not in the whole country.
New Hampshire does a lot of amazing things for liberty, and it's kind of a lot of amazing activists who work very, very hard, but it's nothing beats the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance and the work that they do. They have someone reading all of the bills put forward in New Hampshire, and they rate them on whether or not they're good or bad for liberty, and they look at all of the representatives and they rate them according to whether or not they're good for liberty or bad for liberty. And it's an amazing amount of work and dedication, and just I cannot praise those guys enough for the hard work they do.
Thanks, Andrew, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. That's nhliberty.org, and it's an organization that people outside of New Hampshire can support. So if you're out there and you're hearing about all the cool stuff happening here in New Hampshire and you can't physically get here yet, maybe it's 10 years away or 5 years or something before you can move here, or maybe you feel like you're stuck wherever you are, but you still want to support what's going on here, that's a great activist group to support, whether it's just giving some money to, or if you've got some volunteer time you want to give to. If you like reading bills, for instance, it's tough to get enough volunteers to read all 1,000 or 900 or however many bills. There's usually somewhere between 800 and 1,000 bills every single year, and they get most of them, but I don't think they ever get to all of them. So if you are able to help with that, if that's what kind of like turns you on, like the idea of reading bills, and I don't, it's a real slim group of people that find that to be interesting. But Bonnie's done several so far this year. No one can get close to Zeffin. He's got over 300 bills under his belt so far this year, and the second place guy's like 100 something, which is still pretty awesome, but you know, not even close. So.
And it's not as bad as it sounds, right? Like, I know if you've, I attempted to read the FEMA Act at one point because I wanted to know how bad it really is. And the bill itself is monumentally difficult to read. But the bills in New Hampshire are not that bad from what I've seen.
They have to basically be one subject.
Yeah.
You can't be going crazy.
Well, and they're not written the way that federal legislation tends to be written, mm-hmm. where it's just references to other statutes and regulations, and it's 40,000 pages long of legalese that's impossible to wrap your mind around. The ones I've seen in New Hampshire, they're not written in ordinary daily English, but they're not incomprehensible either. It's not like reading a bill is if you were to read a federal piece of legislation.
Yeah, a fair amount of them are one page or less, which is nice.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones here. Unscreen caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Alexis.
Hey, Alexis.
And I have been having a chronically online day, and I happened to see that Aria said something about Zelensky being a Nazi, and I just... I might be I'm pretty uninformed, but I wanted to know what that's about.
I don't believe I said that Zelensky is a Nazi. You're referring to a tweet that I posted earlier, and let me find it because I don't remember exactly what I said. And I don't want to say that I said that Zelensky, that I did not say Zelensky is a Nazi.
Well, maybe it has something to do with the people that are the Ukrainian military.
Don't let me twist your words. It's a question.
So I was referring to Harry Potter, and and the tweet is essentially about Harry Potter. I said, "Let those without sin cast the first Expelliarmus." Expelliarmus is a spell in Harry Potter, and it's a play on the saying, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And then I went on, "I'm playing Hogwarts Legacy. You're supporting Zelensky. One of us is supporting Nazis, but it isn't me." And you're right, and I should have worded that better because it does suggest that Zelensky is a Nazi.
I might have misread it, but yeah.
No, you're right. I should have worded that better.
You said he was supporting Nazis, didn't you?
I said, "You're supporting Zelensky. One of us is supporting Nazis, but it isn't me." If you are supporting Zelensky, and
you are by proxy supporting Nazis, because there's been proof positive that there's like a whole division, and I'm sorry, I forget the name of the division in the Ukrainian military.
The Azov Battalion.
Azov, that's it. That is made up of Nazis.
Right. There is, but that's badly worded. You're right. I shouldn't have worded it that way because it does suggest that Zelensky himself.
Honestly, was not critiquing you. Sorry,
I just want to be clear.
It's legitimately a question. Yeah.
Right. I just want to be clear that
I've never heard that.
Right. I just want to be clear that Zelensky does not seem to be a Nazi. There's no reason to believe that Zelensky is a Nazi, and I did not mean to suggest that Zelensky is a Nazi.
Well, we don't know. I mean, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but we do know that there are Nazis that are in the Ukrainian military.
Isn't there a saying, like, if there's one Nazi at a table and everybody else is at the table, then you have 10 Nazis?
I've never heard saying.
I've been hearing that a little bit online.
It's a ridiculous saying. I mean, I've had dinner with Chris Cantwell, but that doesn't make me a Nazi.
No, I think it's the analogy or whatever. It's supposed to be like, oh, guilty by association.
Well, that's ridiculous. I'm just going to throw that right out there. I mean,
I don't have an opinion on that. I hear that in association with Nazis all the time.
The fact is, when the U.S. government gives Zelensky billions, and now it's over $110 billion, and that doesn't include the equipment that he's being sent, like the German tanks and the bombs and the missiles or whatever, $110 billion, you know that money is going to the Azov Battalion, is going to the hands of actual Nazis. So supporting Zelensky is, by proxy, supporting Nazis directly with money, and God knows how much of it.
I hope I don't sound uninformed, but it sounds, the way what you're describing to me sounds like a repeat of history. Like, the U.S. gives a bunch of money to foreign militants under the guise of some war, right? Like, mm-hmm. the exact same thing happened with bin Laden, right?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, and it's just a matter of time before the United States and Ukraine are at war with one another. That's the way this has always played out, mm-hmm. right? The United States mm-hmm. helped Afghanistan, and bin Laden specifically, bin Laden was, of course, trained by the CIA. The United States helped Afghanistan and al-Qaeda against the Soviet Union in the 80s. Fast forward 20 years, and the United States was fighting Afghanistan instead of Russia or the Soviet Union. And we're going to see the same thing here in Ukraine, where right now the United States government is helping Zelensky fight against Russia. 20 years from now, the United States will be fighting against Ukraine and Zelensky, this very same people that the United States is supporting right now, and in general, the same weapons that the United States is sending Ukraine will be used against the United States in 20-ish years, because that's the way this works.
Alexa, yep. anything else you want to comment on?
Nope. That was all. Thank you.
Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Good evening there, Sister Aria.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, judging by recent events, we had another shooting happen in Michigan today, so gun control is on my mind, and especially gun control here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Well, first off, I'm going to say things have changed a lot since I was a kid. Somewhere between the time I was a kid and adult, things changed, and I gave it some thought. Now, I've had this discussion many times with politicians and other people. It comes down to this. Now, I can speak for the Commonwealth. I can't say this for California or somebody else. In our case, if you look at our first two constitutions, it read very simply put, the people have a right to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state. Now, something very interesting happened in the third one, and this is where my point starts to be raised.
Pennsylvania has multiple constitutions?
Five.
Okay.
Last one was in 68.
Did they replace one another?
There's only been 11 amendments since 1909.
Okay, but so, like, instead of amending the Constitution, they just create a new one? Is that what's going on?
No, but that's how they do it there, Miss Aria. This is besides the point. You have a version that was written this year. You have a version that was written that year. They just add what they need to.
You're saying the latest version of the Philadelphia or the Pennsylvania Constitution is 1968?
Correct. That was the last time it was changed.
But this is an amendment. You're saying they copy the Constitution and they add something to it?
Right. Okay. It involves something to do with civil rights, I believe.
Okay, so what is the gun aspect of it now?
Okay. Now, in the third Constitution, people started questioning it, so we had the advent of that. So they added something to Section 21. The people have a right to bear arms in defense of themselves, and the state. This shall not be questioned. Mm-hmm. Here's my conclusion. When it comes to Pennsylvania, and it could be different to wherever you live, but exclusively to us, it's brutal. And my conclusion is everybody has a right to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And that includes anything from crazy people to felons to youths, for that matter. Because when I was a kid, things were different. Here's what changed in Pennsylvania. The same problem, to an extent, everybody got. When I was a kid, it wasn't there, but by the time I got to adult, it was there. It was the FFL.
Oh,
and what ends up happening, and here are the things that happened to us. Federal firearms license.
Okay.
Now, what ended up happening is we got flushed right down the crapper. Examples. Our Section 8 reads, the people shall be secure in their paper and things. Okay, fine. Well, there's a problem with this. You have the ATF form, as an example, and background checks. Well, the ATF form is interesting because in Pennsylvania, you're not required to register a gun. And also, law enforcement's not allowed to keep a registry.
Okay.
But the gun shop has a computer and a book copy, plus they put it on the ATF form. Now the FBI got it. And it gets worse than that because now there's age distinctions. When I was a kid, if you wanted a gun, anything from a handgun.
So you would describe yourself as a pro-gun Democrat?
I'm an extremist.
So, I mean, when I was
okay, but are you a pro-gun Democrat?
Yeah, I'm an old-school Democrat.
Okay.
You know, when I was a kid, you wanted a gun. You know, you got permission from your parents, and you got a gun. You could get either a rifle, for that matter, a handgun.
So then would you agree then, Ricky, that the recent shooting in Michigan, which for listeners that aren't familiar, there was news, I don't know if it was yesterday or Sunday night or something, but there was a shooting, multiple people were shot on a Michigan college campus. So then you would agree that the odds that that death toll or the shooting would be so would be as bad would be lower if guns were allowed on campus, right? Because these are essentially gun-free zones, and everybody's disarmed. So when a psychopath shows up with a gun, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Well, I can give you a good example right here in PA. I mean, I will admit, I pretty much admitted defeat on this because the FFL ain't going to go away, you know. But that aside, you know, an example is, there's two examples I can think of. A mile from where I used to live, there was this guy, Rockney Newell. You know, he didn't pay his taxes for 3 years, so they took away Newell land, you know. So he decided to go down to township and start shooting through the windows. He had a rifle first, blew away three township members, and he went and grabbed a .357 out of his trunk. And it was an interesting thing. Somebody actually put themselves in front of him. They got blown away by the .357. Now, I don't even know what happened to him.
So he was shooting city councilors, basically?
Huh?
He was shooting at, like, the city council?
Yeah, he was trying to get the tax lady, and she happened not to be in that day.
Wow.
You know, so, and then there was another
in addition to utilizing violence as a way of achieving his goals, which is deplorable and evil and...
It happens, you know?
Like, yeah, happen. But that doesn't mean it's good. So in addition to that, he kills or shoots and injures multiple unrelated people who weren't even involved in what made him so angry. And he didn't even get the person who was responsible.
Right. And then there was another famous incident that there was a guy by the name of Eric Frayne who actually ended up running right across my area. He blew away a state cop because he blamed it for killing his brother. But the point I'm making here is, in Pennsylvania, Philly, you got a lot of problems, but relatively, there's not a whole lot of problems in comparison to other places. I think it depends on your demographic. And I know I'm losing this one. I'm never going to win. The FFL's not going to go away.
Oh, you will when the federal government crumbles. He'll go away.
Well, that's something else that I have in mind for another night, Ian.
All right. We'll talk to you then. Thank you, Ricky, for the call. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let's go to Ridley on the line, calling us from, I think, Colorado still. Dave Ridley from Ridley Report. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys do this or not, but last year, I think, New Hampshire came within an ace of passing a ban on plastic bags.
So you said New Hampshire came something. New Hampshire was trying to tax plastic bags.
A ban them, I think he said.
Well, it wasn't quite a tax. It was more. It wasn't a ban so much as like a restrictions on plastic bags. Does that make sense?
And you said it came within a what of doing it?
Within an eighth.
Okay, like meaning an eighth of the state house.
An eighth. It passed the state house, but it wasn't. It was
no
never.
Way.
I don't think it got. Yeah, it didn't get through the Senate, apparently.
That seems unbelievable. I mean, it was a Republican state house. The odds that they would be supporting a ban on plastic bags would shock me if that were true.
Well, again, it wasn't quite a ban. It would have been more like a restriction or taxes on bags or whatever. But anyway, they passed one in Colorado that went into effect just about a month ago. And even I thought, well, this is bad, but, you know, it's probably not going to be, it probably won't make that much difference. But no, it took the fun out of shopping in a way that I never expected. So what happened is, like, Walmart here stopped. They wouldn't, they won't bag anything for you anymore. You have to bag
what?
It yourself. And
meaning you have to bring your own bags? Or do they provide
you have to bring
them?
Your own bags? And you have to bag it yourself. And if you want to. And the Walmart just stopped offering plastic bags. Now you have to like buy a 75-cent one of those awful cloth bags that doesn't even work for each 75 cents per bag. There was another place I went, King Supers, where they didn't even have any, they didn't even have any people manning their bag line. Their cashiers were not, none of their cashiers were working. It was just automated. And you had to use the plastic bags. So I just, I thought, oh, okay, so these must be exempt or something, because there's no notice here that these plastic bags cost anything. So I guess I'll just go ahead and do my own groceries, you know, do it all manually and put it in the plastic bags. Then they told me, no, we're going to charge you for the plastic bags. So I said, okay, I'm taking everything out of these plastic bags, and I'll just hand you these plastic bags back, because I'm not paying a tax on plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
it all goes to the government. So it's just, they take all the fun. The government has taken all the fun out of the shopping. And it started with the masks, and,
now you have
to plot a strategy before you go into the store. I've been taking boxes in, but that's a mess too, because they don't fit right in the grocery cart. And it's just awful. So we got to make sure this doesn't come to me.
Where did you hear that this passed or that this failed by an eighth?
I don't remember. I just Googled it and looked at the news.
You may have gotten some bad information. It was in a committee. So you're referring to what was called HB 1119, relative to the regulation of single use bags. This was heard last year.
But they're not single use. Every plastic bag that I've ever used could be multiple use.
Sure, but that's how they're referring to them or whatever. This is the billing question. And
I understand that, but the whole reason for this nonsense about plastic bags is, you know, protecting the planet and, mm-hmm. you know, not littering and wasting a bunch of stuff. But, like, they're all reusable.
Sure. Once you get them home, I use them to line trash cans or whatever. But anyway, my point here is it did have a close vote in the committee. It did come out of committee as what they call inexpedient to legislate. It was a 10-9 vote in the committee. But when it came down to the actual vote in the state house, it looks like it did get its own independent vote. It was 300-35. So, I mean, this thing got blown away. It had no chance of passing here, Dave. So that's the good news for you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't think that would have a chance in New Hampshire. Thank you for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. There's more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. We got time for you if you want to join the show. We still haven't even talked about this Hogwarts thing. We need to dig into that coming up.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV just removed Newsmax. Now you can't watch Newsmax on DirecTV or UVerse. With OAN gone last year, that's two conservative channels removed in the past year alone. Newsmax is the fourth highest rated cable news channel, with great programs from Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren, and Rob Schmidt. Now millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. President Trump, Mike Huckabee, John Voight, Sarah Palin, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and many more are demanding that Newsmax be returned to DirecTV. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now and let them know you want Newsmax. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you're not a DirecTV subscriber but support Newsmax and free speech, call 877-NEWSMAX to show your support. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He urges you to stand up for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.